Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and I'm so excited to be here for our 8th season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show, Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it, and it was one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is always such an honor and privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share with us here. And I am just beside myself with glee and excitement and gratitude for my guest here with me today, Heather Matarazzo. Woo! Made her film debut in Welcome to Dollhouse in 1995, where she played the lead role of Dawn Wiener. She won an Independent Spirit Award for her performance in the film. She's been in dozens of other films and TV shows and is an icon in her own right. My favorite role of yours is from Princess Diaries, but we'll get to that. Heather, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's, of course, I mean, this is incredible. How are you doing? I know, which is such like a loaded question in these times, but also, you know.
my go-to response is good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Good enough is better than most things, actually. So I like that.
Yeah, I try to keep it as simple as possible, where I am grateful to have a roof over my head. I'm grateful that all of my fur babies are healthy. I'm glad that my wife and I are healthy. I am thankful to have a wonderful group of friends and to be of service when I can, and to be able to, you know, just be alive no matter how just disastrous in some ways the world is right now.
Yeah, for sure. I meditate every day for at least 3 minutes just for that like reset connection of like I am safe in this moment.
Yeah.
And like all of these other things are constantly happening, but in this moment I am okay. I am grateful that I had to have a roof and family and all the things you said. But it can be hard to leave the meditation, you know, station, because it's like, I don't want to go back out there. I want to just feel good in this moment. But it is what it is. Tell me about your fur babies.
Oh my goodness. So I've got two dogs and two cats, ranging in ages from 14 to 5.
Wow.
The love of my life. I just, I absolutely, absolutely love and cherish them, because talk about being present. You know, they really force you to be present and aware, and to de-armor your heart, you know, whether you desire to or not. And you know, I've never met a dog or a cat I didn't absolutely fall in love with.
Yeah, that's
a different story.
Yeah, right, for sure. Yeah, I don't have any pets of my own in New York City, but my parents have two dogs in Ohio, and I think of them as my own, and I love them more than anything. And when I go home, it's just like, just I've never heard it like stated like de-armor your heart, but that's exactly what it is. It's like I could be in the most sour, like pissed off mood, or for whatever reason, and then I see them and I'm like, oh, you're just the best, and I just love you, and love emanates from, you know, both ways, and it's so special.
Yeah, speaking of which, we might have a visitor right now. Here we go.
Ooh, great.
Here's one of them. This is Lionel.
Lionel.
Yeah. He's
I
got
love
his
that
little
name.
bow tie and his
Oh,
little
what?
pink, what do you call it? Oh, God.
Collar.
Collar. Yeah. I can never have my office door closed because,
Yep. I always keep my when I'm at my parents, I always keep the door cracked. And then the door will fly open and I'm like, is it a ghost? Nope, it's Artie. They're so sweet. So we all have multiple coming out stories and like coming into ourself stories. And I would love to hear one or however many of those moments or stories you'd like to share.
I mean, for me, there was always a knowing, and I think, as is the case with quite a few of us in the LGBTQIA plus community, that I tried so hard to be a heterosexual, and it did not work. And I came out publicly during the press tour of Princess Diaries 2 after one too many margaritas and just being very tired of the question, "Do you have a Prince Charming?" And I let it slip, and the next thing you know, it is everywhere at that time, and this was long before social media. And I didn't recognize the impact that my coming out would have. And even though I don't get the proper credit that I think I deserve for, I think, really being, because at that time we had Ellen that came out, and Katie Lang was out, and Melissa Etheridge, but there wasn't anyone in the industry that was in their 20s. And oh, Lionel, for the love of God, but there wasn't anyone in the industry that was an actor in their 20s that did that, and I'm thankful that since then people feel that much safer to announce who they are because they feel that they are worthy of that freedom of being without having to suffocate or compartmentalize parts of self.
Thank you for sharing that. I what year would that have been? 2005?
2004,
2004.
2004, 2005. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. And that is before. Well, I give you credit. And I think it like
I
I
receive that. I will take
Yeah,
it.
it's So you talked about just the impact your coming out would have. And so I'm curious a couple of things. One is like once you let it slip, was there a moment of like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said that? Was it like, oh, I feel such relief? Was it everything? Like what was the impact on you?
I mean, well, again, I didn't recognize that that was going to be a headline. I really didn't. Jose Cuervo is really helpful in terms of bravery and courage, or just, having a Liz Taylor or Betty Davis moment. And yeah, I didn't I didn't recognized that it was going to be as big of a story as it was in the sphere that it was. You know, I mean, I wasn't on the cover of Time magazine, nor would I ever expect to be, but it was big enough that there were definitely some who took issue with the fact that I came out publicly and essentially told me I would never work again. And there were others who were very generous with their embrace and thanking me for coming out. And just as quickly forgot, you know, so I wasn't, it was never planned. It was never, you know, it wasn't a pointed thing that I was going to do. It really was just spur of the moment, as it were, you know.
Yeah. So I guess so you said, I mean, this is what, like you said, before social media. So, did you have fans like reach out to you, thanking you, and were there other like celebrities who hadn't come out yet that were like, ah?
Oh, no. I didn't have any of that. I got what it did allow me to do. It afforded me the opportunity to start working with Harvey Milk High School in New York. And it allowed me to be of service in a greater way than I would have been if I hadn't imbibed, you know, and spoke my truth.
So you didn't have any like fans being like, thanks.
Like years later, because again, there, I didn't really get, as far as I know, who knows, I may have gotten fan mail and my agents just didn't forward it on, you know, but definitely later I would receive messages, and I still do on occasion, which is really, really lovely.
Yeah, that is. It's the that the idea of just like the representation and visibility into queerness is so crucial, especially at that time, when there really wasn't a lot, or you know, not much. And then what we did have wasn't always super positive. And like, you know, Ellen came out and then lost everything and then built it back. And you know, so it's, you know, queer kids in the closet. Queer grown-ups in the closet internalize that stuff, and it can be really scary. And so to have someone with a platform, whether you meant to or not, come out, I know I bet all my money and all my pellet ice that you impacted a lot of people. So just thank you for imbibing and for coming out. This is not the end of the episode. Just me just saying
Yeah, no,
thank
for sure, for sure. I mean, listen, what better spirit to speak through me?
you. Okay, so what so okay, so before I keep moving us forward, I want to know like what kind of work did you do with the Harvey Milk School?
I would just go there and hang out with the kids and speak with the kids and just be present and be available. You know, that's what I did, and it was very behind the scenes and low key. And Dara Gordon, that was the head of, it was Harvey Milk School, and then please, pardon my brain fog. There was something else attached to it that I did a lot of work for. But for me, it was what's the point of having a platform, and what's the point of having a voice if you're not going to utilize it? And it was more important for me now that I had this, for lack of a better word, enhanced visibility to use it in a way that I didn't make an egoic profit off of, but really got to silently be in the room with those that were being kicked out of their parents' home at 14 or 15, that were riding the subways all night because they didn't have a safe space to stay, and really just listening. There's a reason we have two ears and one mouth, you
Ooh, I
know,
love
and
that.
so that was the best way that I knew to offer my time and my energy and my presence.
Yeah, that's really special. Well, I love that two ears, one mouth. I haven't heard that either, and I love it. my friend Jeffrey and I started this program called Craft Your Truth, where we partner with right now, well, we're part of a few different organizations, but the main one we partner with is called New Alternatives in New York City that supports LGBTQ youth experiencing homelessness. And so we partner with them, and we brought in a bunch of like teaching artists to come in and help them. And guide them in crafting some sort of performance piece. And then we, you know, would perform for each other. And the feet we've done it many times. And the feedback we always get from the clients is so spectacular, where it's like similar to what you're saying of like, we just wanted to be heard. Like, we didn't think anybody even cared about our stories. And the fact that like you just gave us space to share is so meaningful to me. Like then, and so to hear them say that, it's like, we just want to be heard. We just want to be understood. We just want to like be humans together. And it's really sad to me that people are kicked out of their homes and shunned and, you know, what have you, just for living their truths.
Yeah, I mean it sucks in all the ways, and it also makes sense, you know. The patriarchy and white supremacy is a hell of a drug, in all ways, in the way that it can eviscerate and eradicate someone from the inside. You know, not to mention just, would I rather be free or would I rather be safe? And human nature, because we have primal instincts, is that we desire to be safe. We desire to be safe until it gets to the point that, you know, you recognize that safety isn't guaranteed, and that the illusion of safety becomes the reality of suffocation.
Oof, you're just like wisdom nugget throwing. It's like so good. yeah. Oof. So pre-Jose Cuervo,
Yeah. Yes, there you
Cuervo.
go.
I don't drink tequila. I don't drink at all, but for sure when I drink, not tequila. But anyways, did you have like a Ring of Keys moment, like that moment where you like saw yourself reflected in somebody else and you're like, oh, that's me? Like, how did you understand your queerness before you told other people?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when I was doing Dollhouse when I was 11, I've told this story before. It was the first time I heard the word lesbian. And I always compare it to like the Annie Sullivan, Helen Keller moment, where it's like, it has a name, Helen, it has a name. And I was like, ah, that's what it is. That's what it is. You know, and I mean, Xena Warrior Princess, I mean, hello. I mean, that was part of my queer awakening in a massive way. Lucy Lawless all day long. But then also, Marlene Dietrich and Greta Garbo and Tallulah Bankhead and all of these women that definitely had sapphic fault lines within them that just radiated and emanated off the screen. It's hard to, I think, pinpoint recognition, except that there's a flutter, there's a sense of recognition, even if you don't have the appropriate word for it. There's a window within oneself that opens up, or at least it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, you even said earlier too, like that there was always a knowing. And which I think seems like fits perfectly into what you were just saying. Because I also always had like a knowing of queerness and a knowing of transness, but didn't have the language or the perceived safety to come out. There's this like, okay, so one of the first movies that I saw with a trans character was Boys Don't Cry, and that was very scary to watch. But then, so Brendan Sexton the third is in that movie, and he's also in Welcome to the Dollhouse, and he was to me when I first saw Welcome to the Dollhouse, he was scary in that too. And is he so I just okay. There's I have no question. It's just there's the connection of him playing scary people in like in films that impact me. But is he scary in real life?
Oh, he's a sweetheart. He's
Oh, good.
an absolute sweetheart.
Good. He's also Warren in
Yes,
Empire Records.
that is right.
So your first ever film was Welcome to the Dollhouse, and I remember watching it, and I remember, I guess I must have seen it maybe after I watched Boys Don't Cry, because I remember just feeling extra scared by him and or from him. I don't know how you say that, but do, like for those folks who haven't seen Welcome to the Dollhouse, do you mind just giving like a very quick overview of what it was, what it is?
They can watch it. They can find
Okay.
it. They can watch
Great.
it and have their own seminal experience.
Okay, great. And they will know that I also was scared by it, even though it's like really a, is it like a, it's a dark comedy. It's not supposed, is it supposed to be scary?
No,
Oh,
I think it also
I'm just a
depends on the
wimp.
viewer. I think
Yeah,
it
fair.
also depends on the viewer because they're, and I think that it's one of those films that you can watch it in one phase of your life and be absolutely heartbroken and devastated. And then you can watch it at another phase of your life and find the comedy and find the laughter, depending on how much healing you've done within
Yeah.
yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I just it that whole the I've only seen it the one time. I was in high school, maybe even middle school. No, I don't know. But it was really hard to watch. And so I was actually very excited that you were in Princess Diaries, because I got to like see you in a different role as like, okay, so this is just like with like a lighter feel and a lighter, you know, tone to. Do you have a favorite character that you've played?
Myself.
Love that. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I quote you from that movie, actually probably more than anyone in that movie, like any line, which is, "Hey, wait up, not you. I don't even know you." That is so funny to me. Like, I just appreciate it so much. And Voltaire, hair, no, hair, Voltaire. Well, I forget, but anyways, you're amazing. So, okay, so what drew you to acting in the first place? Because you were so young when you started.
I mean, I quite often quote Morgan Freeman when he won the Golden Globe. I think it was the Cecil the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and he said, "I don't know if I chose acting or acting chose me." You know, and I feel quite similar to that. It's a calling. It was a calling. It was a vocation. It is, and yeah, you know, I'm very thankful that I received the calling as young as I did, and it just some things just make sense, and that made sense to me, you know, and I'm thankful that I've been able to do it now for almost 40 years.
If you if someone was like, I have a magic wand and you could be anything besides an actor, what would your dream? I know working is not a dream, but if you had to pick a job, what would you want to be doing?
I would either, I mean, I would probably say a psychedelic therapist
Ooh.
or a professional woodworker.
Cool. I love both of those things. I have a couple of different friends who do various psychedelic drugs and like just speak so highly of them, of like how much they help them, how much it impacts their like sense of self, their sense of being, their sense of their like relationship to the world. And I can just imagine like how much more powerful it would be to have like a trained professional like along the ride with you.
I mean, for me, that's the only way I've ever sat with the medicine. And Eliza, I'm going to get her last name wrong. Eliza, it's not cutthroat, Cuthbert. You know, Eliza, she was,
Dushku.
yeah,
Is
Eliza
that right?
Dushku.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I apologize, Eliza, if you happen to hear this. Yeah, but she is an MDMA therapist now out of Boston, which I think is fabulous. And I don't think that psychedelics are for everyone at all. They have personally been very, very helpful. In terms of navigating severe depression, and yeah, it's definitely not a magic bullet, and I think that getting to have access to those modalities of therapy under supervision can be immensely, immensely, immensely helpful for people.
I've actually really only heard positive things from friends who've sat with different medicines and have so I on my list is ayahuasca. I never wanted to do it pre coming out as trans because I knew deep down in that knowing that like it would come up in a journey and like I didn't want to have to face it. But now that I'm like out and I don't think I have anything else buried in there that I don't know about, I really want to try. But then also if there is something buried, I feel equipped to handle it. So I don't know, we'll see.
I mean, all I will say to that, because that was my first foray into psychedelic medicine, and it was after I had been in it was a last stop for me. It was either that, or it was either and a therapist that I had been working with for quite some time had suggested it to me, because I had been in a very deep severe depression. I've dealt with depression my whole entire life, but it was getting to the point of suicidal ideation. And, they had suggested working with this medicine, and I had never taken a psychedelic in my life. Massive historical control freak. And I did 2 years worth of research before I got to the point of saying, all right, universe, if I'm meant to sit with this medicine, I'm ready. And then out of quote unquote, out of the blue, a single spot had opened up for me to sit with the medicine in Costa Rica. And I strongly advise that you work with a shaman that isn't based out of fucking Malibu, California. That is just a colonizer that doesn't actually even know the history of the practice. Because it's, again, there's so much appropriation that goes on, and getting to learn the difference between appropriation and appreciation, and that it's a practice and a gift to people that shouldn't be taken lightly, and I feel the culture of whiteness is to extract. So when and if you do sit with the medicine, I'm more than happy to guide you towards people.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to take us on a little bit of a detour
Have it that.
away from psychedelics to the wonderful world of the L word.
Okay.
Stacey Merkin,
Yes.
that was your character.
Sure was.
Had you watched the show before you were on it? Like, what was your relationship to the L word? Pre being Stacey Merkin and post being Stacey Merkin.
Of course I watched it. I mean, it's the lack of representation, was astounding. So, bravo to Showtime for having not one but two shows. You had the L Word and you had Queer as Folk, so I absolutely loved watching that spicy nighttime drama.
And did you continue watching once your character was in and then not in it?
I did not. I don't
Okay.
like watching myself. I don't like it at all. And yeah, so I did not watch the final season.
So even though you didn't watch, do you have an opinion on who killed Jenny? 'Cause that was like the big question when the show ended, and like there were t-shirts that was like, who killed Jenny? And everyone like, do you have a guess?
I just know it wasn't me. I just know it wasn't me. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jenny Schechter faked her own death, to be quite honest.
Good one.
Yeah. I mean, she's that kind of character that I think would be that devious in some way, but who knows?
Who knows? She, there was, man, people hate Jenny.
Yeah.
And so, how did, after you played Stacey Merkin, were people, did they like your character? Did they not like your character as it related to Jenny?
I don't really know. I know that Mia was an absolute joy to work with, like an absolute joy. I mean, for fuck's sakes, I'm playing a character whose last name means vagina wig. You know what I'm fucking saying? So
Yeah.
it's like it is what it is, and fandom is going to fandom, and they're going to have their feelings either way, and that is why I don't leave my house and don't interact with people because I don't care to hear your opinion.
Fair. Well, I hope it was okay that I quoted you to you from Princess Diaries. Is
That's
that
totally,
okay?
listen, that is totally fine. It's just, people really in some ways don't have a filter and think that just because they've seen you on their screens, it gives them carte blanche to say whatever it is that's on their mind, regardless, without thinking of how it might actually affect the person that's receiving it. Not to mention, I'm a fucking actor. Like, take it up with the writer. I didn't write this. This isn't just, and people don't seem to recognize that. I don't know if it's just because I've gotten older, I've just really lost all patience and forbearance when it comes to people being out of pocket.
That makes sense. I feel like there's also like entitlement to people, to like people in the public eyes, like time and stories and energy, and that's got to be exhausting.
Another reason I don't leave my house.
Yeah.
I think that there is a balance. I think that there is a balance. I give more attention and appreciation to people who come up to me and they're like, oh, "You're Heather Matarazzo." Ba 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 ba. I'll just share the story that sums it up. I think it was 2 years ago that my wife and I were at a bar in Detroit celebrating a friend's birthday, and this lovely woman comes up to me and she's like, "You're Heather Matarazzo. Oh my God, I absolutely love you." Like, ba 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 ba. And we hug and we take a photo. It's very lovely, it's very kind. And she's with a group of like three or four other young women. And I see this knockoff Farrah Fawcett coming towards me. And she was like, "I want to get a photo with you." Bup, 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 bup. And I was like, "Hi, I'm Heather. What's your name?" She had no idea who I was. She had no. And then I like fucking with people. It's just, it's my stellium and Scorpio, I guess, where if you're going to come to me with that energy, I'm going to match that energy. And she started talking about Princess Diaries. And she was saying that her mom loved that movie. And she started asking me about what it was like working with Meryl Streep in Princess Diaries. And I'm like, "Meryl Streep was in Princess Diaries? I had no idea." "Yeah, no, we never got an opportunity to work together." And we didn't get the photo. We didn't. And she just, at the end of it, just skulked away. And that's what I'm talking about, the difference, where it's, I will give you 10, 15, 20 minutes of my time talking with you. If you come to me with just basic dignity and decency and respect. But the second that you come to me and you don't even know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't even like pretend, like just, I don't owe you a thing. I don't owe you a thing. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. You know, it's that thing of people just wanting something for fame's sake. You know, become a fucking influencer. You know, start a TikTok. You know, I'm not, you know, Molly Malone in Dublin Square. You know, you're not going to be able to like rub my arm or my tits and all of a sudden have riches come to you. You know, I rub my own arm and tits, and riches are still elusive to me as of yet.
Yeah, I mean that makes total sense of like how you want to spend your energy and the like authenticity of people approaching you in like a oh my gosh, I'm such a fan way, which I full disclosure everybody geeked out for 3 seconds before we started.
I couldn't even
Versus
get
the
five, but I'll take
okay,
three.
it was well, it's been permeating throughout this whole thing. You know, yeah, versus someone who's just wants the energy sucks suckers. Is there like an actor on a that you're like, oh, I would love to do a movie with this person? Like they seem great, or I really admire them.
I just Alana Ubach, like we have the same manager. She's a close friend of mine. I just want to work with her desperately on something. Samira Wiley would love to work with her. I think she is absolutely fantastic. Amy Lou Wood, I think, is absolutely fantastic. You know, Cillian Murphy, absolutely fantastic. Essentially, you know, it's but Alana is my number one. I just want us to find something because I think she is the most underestimated actor of our time. I think she is brilliant in everything she does. And if you look at her performance as Susan in Ted, and then you look at her in Euphoria, you know, and you look at her in Waiting, or you look at her in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or you look at her in Freeway or Legally Blonde or Meet the Fockers or the innumerable performances that she's given, and she still hasn't gotten her due in a way that I feel she deserves and is warranted. I mean, if I could have a tenth of her fucking talent, I'd be so lucky.
Yeah, amen. She is incredible. I love her also. And actually, she was a very important queer representation to me from the Brady Bunch movie.
Right. Oh, I thought that was my leg.
Yeah, so funny. And I just like clung to those mo like, and they were subtle. Like they nothing was overt. But it just, I clung to it. I was like, oh man, like she's queer and she's, you know, she's fine. Like she's fine, you know, and just,
She
oh, so important.
want me to carry your books to class. She's
Yeah.
I mean, she's just she's incredible. She's incredible. Yeah, how could I forget the Brady Bunch movie? I mean, come on.
Yeah, she's, yeah, I would flip out if you guys were in something together. So I'm gonna like put this into the universe of like,
Yeah, we're gonna
please,
manifest
please,
this.
let's manifest it. C Heather and Alana, let's do this. So I always hate ending these interviews because they're so good, but I want to be respectful of everybody's time. And so I'm going to bring us into our lightning round of questions, which is meant to be for fun. Generally, lightning rounds are either or questions to make it quick, but I was called in a few years ago that they were too binary. So they are now open-ended. So it might be slightly more challenging to answer, but it's still just for fun. And you can always pass if you are like, I don't want to do this. So
Copy that.
are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Where's your favorite place to think?
My head.
Nice. Who is an influential queer person in your life?
Judy Garland.
What's a song you can listen to on repeat forever?
Oh, Fiona Apple's, oh my God. I'm just gonna say Fiona Apple, it kicked me under the table. That whole
Great.
album, The Ball Cutters, I could listen to that. And then also Madonna's Confessions on a Dance Floor live. And I'm so excited that she has a new album coming out July 3rd.
Ooh, nice. I didn't know, but now I do. That's exciting. What's one thing you want to be known for?
My life.
Okay, this is a two-part question. Part one is, think of a concert you'd love to go to. What would it be?
God. Mean, Judy Garland. Judy Garland. If I had ever gotten to see Judy Garland in person, I would die. I would die, but she's dead, so that's not possible. And I've really seen everybody I've ever wanted to see. Seen Liza Minnelli. I've seen Fiona Apple. I've seen Madonna. I've seen Ani DiFranco, and I've seen Tori Amos. There's no one else. I guess maybe Brandi Carlile, maybe. But yeah, there's not a lot of musicians that speak to me that much anymore. And I would have loved to have seen Ella Fitzgerald
That's a
and Nina
good.
Simone and Billie Holiday.
Oh, I love him. Do you know what that's from?
I don't.
Clueless. Christian's like, have you heard of Billie Holiday? And Cher goes, I love him.
Oh, God bless. God bless. Okay, my wife has been talking about wanting to rewatch that, so
Ooh.
I'm going to take that as a sign.
Okay, so those would all Brandi Carlile is amazing live. I will say to you, because you said Judy Garland first, we're gonna go with that one. So part two of the question is of all the Judy Garland songs that she'd be performing, which one would be your bathroom song?
Which one would be my what?
Like that you would leave to go to the bathroom.
Swanee.
I don't know that one. Maybe I won't ever know it.
I mean, it's from A Star Is Born, the 1954 remake for which she was robbed of an Academy Awards. I just that, or I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Okay. Noted. Where do you find the most joy?
With animals, being on a film set, or being with fellow creatives that I love, talking about art and whatnot at a bar or a cafe, and also being inside a movie theater or a theater in general. Anywhere there's art or nature. Those are my two temples.
Those are good ones. Okay, last one, the last and only binary question of them all. Bagels or donuts?
Depends on the fucking day. And it depends
Fair.
on who's making the bagel. And it
Very
depends on who's
true.
making the donut. Have you ever had a bagel from Los Angeles? Disgusting. The donuts can be great, so it really is, that question of who's making the bagel and who's making the donut, and am I about to get my period or
Okay, so let's say you're in New York City and you can have access to any bagel there or any donut there. And you are about to get your period.
I'd get a cinnamon raisin bagel with cream cheese from H&H Bagels, and then I'd get a salt bagel toasted with butter. And then I would get two Boston cream donuts to have for later.
From where?
Probably Krispy Kreme.
I love Krispy Kreme. I don't care that they're a chain. They're good.
Yeah, they're excellent. There was a reason they're a chain.
Yeah, for sure. Well, now I'm very hungry for a bagel and a donut. This has been so lovely and so enlightening, and just the fan girl geek boy is just like going crazy over here. But thank you so much for sharing your time and your stories, and thank you for coming out.
Oh, I'm so happy to be out in all the ways while still getting to be a semi-reclusive hermit.
Yeah, amen to that.
Thank you for coming out.